Okay, so today we're diving into something that I think is super relevant, especially these days. It's all about student speech rights in schools and kind of where the lines are, right? Where does a school's authority end and a student's right to free speech begin?
Yeah, that's a really, it's a huge question, right? And I think we see it play out in the news all the time. Like, how much can schools really control what students say and do, especially when it comes to, expressing their opinions on things that are important to them?
Totally. And I think that's why this case we're looking at today is so interesting. MCV Shawnee Mission School District. It really gets right to the heart of this debate. I mean, think about it. You've got students who want to express themselves, often on controversial issues, and schools that are, well, trying to maintain order and avoid disruption. So where's the balance?
Right. And it's not just about, keeping things calm in the hallways. It's about like fundamental rights. The First Amendment protects freedom of speech for everyone, including students. But how does that actually work in a school setting? Like, does it look different?
Exactly. And that's what makes this case, MCV Shawnee Mission, so fascinating. It's a real-world example of how these principles collide.
Yeah, I mean, this case involves a student-led walkout, which, we've seen a lot of those in recent years, especially around issues like gun violence. And the way the school district responded in this case, it really raises some important questions about the limits of school authority.
Okay, so before we get too deep into the specifics of the case, can you maybe set the stage a little bit? Like, what was happening in the country at the time that led up to these walkouts in 2018?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think everyone remembers the tragic school shootings that have sadly become all too common in the U.S. Columbine, Sandy Hook, Parkland, and so many others. These events, they really shook the nation, and they particularly galvanized young people. I mean, it was their generation that was directly affected, right?
Yeah, for sure. And it seems like these shootings, they sparked a movement, didn't they? A movement led by students who were demanding change, demanding action on gun control.
Exactly. And the walkouts were a huge part of that. It was a way for students to make their voices heard, to say, hey, we're not okay with this. We need to do something.
Right. And so this brings us to the Shawnee Mission School District, April 20th, 2018. Students there, like in so many other places, organized a walkout. And initially, the school district said, okay, you can participate.
Yeah, and that's a key point, right? Like, they didn't try to shut it down altogether. They acknowledged, at least initially, that students had a right to participate in this kind of protest.
But then things get a little, well, complicated, don't they? Because the district also allegedly imposed some pretty specific restrictions on what students could actually say during the walkout.
Yeah, and this is where the legal issues really start to emerge. The lawsuit filed by the students claims that the district basically banned any discussion of guns, gun control, or school shootings during the walkout. It's like, how can you have a protest about gun violence, but not be allowed to talk about guns?
Right. It seems kind of contradictory. And there were some really specific instances of this alleged censorship, too. Like at Hocker Grove Middle School, one of the assistant principals, Alicia Grip, she allegedly stopped students from giving speeches that mentioned gun control and even took away their written remarks.
Yeah, and it's important to note that the lead plaintiff in this case, MC, she was one of the organizers at Hocker Grove, so she was directly impacted by these restrictions.
And it wasn't just happening at the middle school level. At Shawnee Mission North High School, there were similar restrictions on student speeches.
Okay.
And then there's the issue with the student journalists, which is a whole other layer to this case.
Right. So in addition to limiting what students could say during the walkout, an assistant principal at the high school allegedly went and confiscated cameras from student journalists. They were trying to document the event, cover it like reporters, and the school basically tried to stop them.
So the school's position seems to be, we'll let you have your protests, but we're going to control the message. It's like they wanted to allow the walkout, but sanitize it, make it less controversial.
Yeah, and that's where the students and their parents said, hold on, that's not okay. They filed a lawsuit arguing that the school district's actions violated their First Amendment rights.
Okay, so let's break down the legal issues here. The lawsuit raised several key arguments. First, the students argued that the restrictions on their speech violated their First Amendment right to freedom of speech.
Right, and that's a pretty straightforward claim, right? The First Amendment protects our right to express ourselves, and the students are saying that the school district overstepped its bounds by trying to censor their message.
And then there's the claim brought by the student journalists, which you mentioned earlier. They argued that confiscating their cameras violated their First Amendment right to freedom of the press.
Yeah, this is a really interesting aspect to the case because it gets into the question of whether student journalists have the same protections as professional journalists when it comes to gathering and reporting news.
And on top of the federal First Amendment claims, there was also a claim brought under the Kansas Student Publications Act, a state law that specifically protects the rights of student journalists.
Right, so this state law adds another layer of legal protection. It basically says that schools can't censor student publications unless the content is truly harmful, like if it's libelous or would cause a major disruption.
So the students are basically arguing that the school district violated both their federal and state rights by trying to control the message of the walkout and prevent the student journalists from reporting on it.
Exactly. And then, to make things even more complex, when this case went to court, the school district and the superintendent, a guy named Southwick, they filed a motion to dismiss the lawsuit.
And the court's decision on that motion is actually pretty important because it gives us some clues about how the case might unfold. So what did the court decide?
Well, the court granted the motion to dismiss for Superintendent Southwick. However, this wasn't because they thought the claims against him were completely baseless. It was based on this legal concept called qualified immunity.
Okay, can you break down qualified immunity for us? I know it comes up a lot in cases involving government officials, but it can be kind of hard to understand.
Yeah, it definitely can be. Basically, qualified immunity protects government officials from being sued unless they violated a clearly established constitutional right. It's meant to shield them from liability for actions taken in good faith, even if those actions later turn out to be wrong.
So in this case, the court was basically saying that the law surrounding a superintendent's responsibility for the actions of his subordinates, like the principals who allegedly censored the students, wasn't clear enough at the time to hold Southwick personally liable.
Right. Doesn't mean he did nothing wrong, but it means he's off the hook for now.
Yeah.
But importantly, the court denied the motion to dismiss for the school district itself. That means the case against the district can move forward.
So the lawsuit against the Shawnee Mission School District is still alive and kicking. And to really understand the legal arguments at play here, we need to talk about a landmark Supreme Court case, Tinker v. Des Moines. This case is basically the cornerstone of student speech law, right?
Absolutely. Tinker is like the Bible of student speech rights. This case, it went all the way to the Supreme Court back in 1969, and it involved students who wore black armbands to school to protest the Vietnam War.
And the Supreme Court, they sided with the students, didn't they?
They did. They said that students don't lose their First Amendment rights just because they walk through the schoolhouse doors.
Mm-hmm.
The court famously said that students don't shed their constitutional rights to freedom of speech or expression at the schoolhouse gate. But, and this is important, the court also acknowledged that schools have a legitimate interest in maintaining order and discipline.
Right. So it's not like students can just say or do whatever they want in school with no consequences.
Exactly. The court in Tinker established a key test for determining when schools can restrict student speech, the substantial disruption test. Basically, schools can only restrict speech if they can reasonably predict that the speech will cause a substantial disruption of school activities or infringe on the rights of other students.
So it's not enough for a school to just say, we don't like this message, so we're going to ban it. They have to show that there's a real risk of disruption.
Right. And this is where the distinction between school-sponsored speech and student-initiated speech becomes really important. Because there's another Supreme Court case, Hazelwood School District v. Kuhlmeier, that gives schools more leeway to regulate speech that's part of a school-sponsored activity, like a school newspaper or a play.
But in the MC case, the walkout was organized by the students themselves. It wasn't a school event. So Tinker, not Hazelwood, is the standard that applies.
Precisely. And that's why the court's ruling in MC is so significant. The court specifically stated, and I'm going to quote this directly because it's important, seeking to avoid controversy without more is insufficient to demonstrate a material or substantial threat of disruption.
So the court is basically saying that the school district can't just censor students because they're worried about a controversial topic. They have to have a real basis for believing that the speech will cause a disruption.
Exactly. And in this case, the court didn't see any evidence of that. There was no indication that allowing students to discuss gun control during the walkout would have led to any kind of disruption or chaos.
Okay, so we've talked about the free speech claims brought by the students who were prevented from speaking, but what about the student journalists whose cameras were confiscated? How does the First Amendment protect them?
That's a great question. The court recognized that news gathering is a fundamental part of freedom of the press. You can't have a free press if journalists aren't allowed to gather information and report on events.
So even though Tinker was specifically about students wearing armbands, the principles of the case extend to student journalists who are trying to cover events that are relevant to the school community.
Absolutely. The court basically said that schools can't just shut down student journalism because they don't like what's being reported, especially in this case, where the student journalists were trying to cover a public event, a protest, that was clearly a matter of public interest.
And then there's the Kansas Student Publications Act, which adds an extra layer of protection for student journalists in this state. How did the court see the district's actions in light of this state law?
Well, the Kansas law is pretty clear that schools can't engage in prior restraint. That means they can't prevent something from being published in advance unless they have a really good reason, like if the material is libelous or would incite violence.
And the court seemed to think that confiscating cameras to prevent student journalists from documenting the walkout was a form of prior restraint that wasn't justified under the law.
Right. It's like the school was trying to control the narrative to prevent any reporting on the walkout that might be critical of the district's actions.
Okay, so just to recap, the superintendent, Southwick, is off the hook for now because of qualified immunity. But the lawsuit against the school district itself is moving forward, and the court has already made some pretty strong statements about the importance of protecting students' speech rights, even on controversial topics.
Exactly. This case is a big deal because it shows that Tinker is still very much alive and well. It means that schools can't just silence students because they're uncomfortable with the message. They have to show that there's a real risk of disruption, and that bar is pretty high.
And this case also has implications for student journalists, right? It suggests that they have a right to report on events within the school, even if those events are controversial.
Absolutely. This case affirms that student journalists have a role to play in holding those in power accountable, even within the school setting.
So as we wrap up, I think the big question is, how might this case and the principles it upholds influence how schools respond to future student protests? Because let's be real, students are going to continue to speak out on issues they care about, whether it's gun control, climate change, social justice, or something else.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. We want students to be engaged and active citizens. But it also means that schools need to be prepared to navigate these situations in a way that respects students' rights, while also maintaining a safe and productive learning environment.
Right, and MCV Shawnee Mission provides a roadmap for how to strike that balance. It shows that schools can't just shut down speech they don't like. They have to engage with it, even if it's uncomfortable, and they have to allow students to express themselves within the bounds of the law.
It really gets to the heart of what it means to live in a democracy, right? We have to be willing to listen to dissenting voices, even when we disagree with them, and we have to protect the right of everyone, including students, to participate in the marketplace of ideas.
Right, and it's not about shielding students from controversy. It's about empowering them to grapple with complex issues and to develop their own informed opinions. It's about preparing them to be active, engaged citizens.
Exactly. It's about teaching them that their voices matter, that they have a right to speak up and to be heard, and that's a lesson that extends far beyond the classroom.
So to sum up, this case is a huge win for student speech rights. It reaffirms the principles of Tinker, and it sends a message that schools can't just censor students because they're afraid of controversy.
And I think it's a good reminder for all of us, not just those in education, that freedom of speech is a precious right, one that we have to constantly defend and protect, even when it's challenging, even when it makes us uncomfortable.
Couldn't agree more. All right, well, that's a wrap for our deep dive into MCV Shawnee Mission School District. It's a case that I think will continue to have ripple effects for years to come. Until next time.
Thanks for having me.